Well, what do you think? The unlimited field of possibilities. You know, it's been a decade and a half since this interview, and Deepak is a treasured friend and such a valued colleague and making a difference in this world. And I can promise you, he's still stepping in the unknown, still healing, still helping people to become more happy, and he's really a source of great peace. So I hope you'll look into more of his work. So what do we want to do before we go on to the fuel of life? Well, let's do a couple of things. Let's do an assignment here. So I'm a big believer in all my coaching programs and Get the Edge and Personal Power. You know, we've had more than 50 million people get our audio programs because those systems work, where you do a little bit each day, and I kind of guide you through it. We give you the principle, and then you apply it. You just do one little thing, and each day builds on the day before, and you get momentum. You know, the hardest part of anything is that initial momentum. So while you're still in state, before you turn this off, let's take three quick actions that can really give you some momentum going forward. Simple things. One, let's just have you evaluate the impact your emotions have on your own health. When has there been a time in your life where your emotions ran rampant and it just destroyed your sense of vitality, where you didn't feel like doing anything anymore? If you can take a moment and really write one down, think of a time where you let the meaning go crazy, where maybe you got fearful about something and later on you found out there was nothing to be afraid of. Have you ever anticipated things being horrible, felt terrible, and later on it turned out great? You wasted all that time. You know, it's not about being positive, it's about being smart. If you live in states where you're anticipating the worst scenario, you're trying to keep yourself from ever being disappointed. You'll be effective, but you won't have a life. Right? You gotta say, okay, I'm prepared for the challenge, but let me figure out what I'm gonna do to take it to the next level. Positive expectation, as you just found from Norman Cousins and from Deepak Chopra, can be self-creating. Learn to utilize this part of yourself by noticing where you've done it. Where have you let your emotions go crazy and drive you down? Compare that. Where's a time where you let your emotions take you to a new level, where by shifting your focus, you put yourself in a different emotional state and you had the energy that was necessary to succeed? Just make a comparison. That's step one. Step two, look at your environment. Take a moment and say, in the world of people I know, there are habits of emotions. Don't you know somebody that always finds a way to have drama in their life? They're always worried about something. They're always frustrated, doesn't matter what happens. And don't you know some people that no matter what happens, they find a way to find a deeper meaning, to be grateful, to be appreciative, or to be playful? You know anybody who tells jokes that are terrible, but they think they're funny and they crack themselves up and you do too? You know what? People that have dominant emotions transfer them to other people. When you get an environment where someone is constantly frustrated, overwhelmed, you tend, even if you're feeling happy, to lower your positive intensity because you don't want to, you know, make them feel bad. Have you ever done that? Ever been so excited, but you didn't want to say it to a brother or sister or friend because, you know, their life's not so good, and so you mute yourself? And as you mute yourself, you train your nervous system to never feel too good. You know, I'm not saying go and slam that person. I'm just saying notice who those people are, so that you spend more time with people in the other area of life, the people that find the deeper meaning. Because, you know, research will show that whoever is most dominant in their emotion will eventually influence the people around them. Even if the person was in a great state and someone else in a negative state, you'll find yourself there eventually. If somebody really owns a positive set of emotions, they habitually get to this place of gratitude or determination or playfulness or love, they begin to infect you. Who you spend time with is who you become. So first, analyze your own life. Where have you used your emotion and dragged yourself down? Where did you change your focus and shift that and pull yourself up? Have you ever been down and you made a shift? What did you focus on? What did you think about? What did you believe that shifted you? Second, look at your environment. Who is a great source of inspiration, of upliftment? Who's a source that pulls you down? If you don't have anybody who lifts you up, go find them. Get in that environment. When I was young, just getting started out, I had no role models. So I started out with books, you know, because you start reading a book and you think like the author. You know, I got tapes. I started going to seminars. I sought out that source of inspiration, that intellectual stimulation, and that emotional fulfillment that moved me up the scale. And when you feel better, you do better. It's that simple. It's about being smart. You know, being in a position where when you feel frustrated and angry all the time, how do you treat other people? You know, how do you do at work? What happens to your health? When you're feeling great, there's a shift. So this is not about positive thinking. This is about being smart, being intelligent. That's what a leader does. And finally, the third part. Walk with me just for a moment, and let's have you establish the truth, the gap between where you are and where you want to be in the areas that matter most. Most people are unhappy in life, and I'll tell you why. They're dabblers. You're never going to be happy trying something until it kind of works. People that are fulfilled have pushed through limitations. They've mastered things and they told themselves the truth. So I've dedicated my life the last 30 years to figuring out the answers to the areas of life that I think matter most. If you're going to have an extraordinary life, there are seven areas you can't pass up. And these are the seven. And just for a moment with me, mentally, or write it down, give yourself a score, 0 to 10 in each area. Now, this is not society's idea of a 10 or Tony Robbins' idea of a 10. I'm nobody. Your idea of a 10 in your world. This is life on your terms. The first area is physical. That's why we focused on this in this audio session, because without your physical body, forget it. Second is emotional mastery. If you master your body but don't master your emotions, as we pointed out here, you got problems. Where are you? If you said where you live dominantly in your life emotionally, is it predominantly gratitude? Is it strength? Is it playfulness? Is it fun? Is it love? Where do you spend your time? Determination? Is it frustration, overwhelm, stress, fear, bored, loneliness? You know what a 10 would look like in life, and you know what a 0 looks like. Where would you score yourself? I'll tell you the third area of life that I focus on in everything I do, because this is what I believe. If you want an extraordinary life, you got to master each of these areas, and they build on each other. Your body affects your emotion affects your body, as we clearly see. And on the next DVD, you're going to learn how to make that shift in your body with one fundamental principle that by itself can change your life, change the fuel, the energy you have available. But the third area is, how would you rate the mastery of relationships? I mean, I always tell people, relationships are life. You know, there's three types of relationships: relationship with God or your creator, relationship with other people, and relationship with yourself. If you had to rate those, where would you give yourself a 0 to 10? Not mine. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I don't tell anybody what to believe spiritually, but I tell you, if you don't practice what you believe spiritually, you're not going to be happy. If you don't have great relationships with the people around you, and you could look at your intimate relationship, where would you score that on a 0 to 10? It's probably the most important one. It affects our level of happiness more than almost anything else in our life. I don't care how great your work is. If you're not happy in your intimate relationship, you're not happy. And by the way, if you don't have one, we would call that 0. So just a reminder, give yourself a score as part of your homework right now. You know, and why don't you have it? That's the purpose of much of our teaching. We have a whole program called the Ultimate Relationship Program because we like to talk humbly about what we teach. But really, you know, it's the best of what I've learned over the last 30 years with people who have extraordinary relationships. But where are you? Where are you in your family relationships? 0 to 10. Where would you rate it? If you're not talking to a family member, it can't be a 10, right? You got to be truthful with yourself. Just give yourself a little score, because that's part of what I want you to do here, is look at your body, look at your emotions, look at your relationships, because if you can establish that there's a gap between where you are and where you want to be, I can show you how to close it, and I'm not the only one. Many people can. I'm one source of coaching. If my style works for you, let's do some stuff together. If not, at least do something on your own or find somebody that'll move you to the next level. How about your office relationships? So if you master your body to a certain level and your emotions and your relationships, what's next? Time. I mean, this is probably the largest area of stress for people. You know what's ironic? Time's emotion. How much is a long time? How much is a short time? Depends, doesn't it? If you're having a great time, long time is a short time. You're having a bad time, a minute is eternity. The mastery of time is not only a skill, but it also is involved in psychology. Where would you say your mastery is? If you're totally mastering it, you master time, time serves you, you don't serve time, you're not stressed, you're a 10. You know, if you feel dead inside and, you know, you feel completely out of control, maybe it's a 1. Where would you put yourself? And then, of course, there's the mastery of work. Would you call it your work, your career, or your mission? Just your choice of which one of those you call. What do you talk about when you talk about what it is you do for a good portion of your time every week of your life? If it's work versus if it's mission, I know you have a very different experience of your life. Where would you score yourself 0 to 10 in the mastery of your work, that profession or career or mission? And then, of course, finances. And money doesn't matter except when you don't have any. Then it really bugs the heck out of you, you know? Most of the arguments you'll find in intimate relationships are often stimulated by conflicts. And some of those conflicts today are so often related to capital or the lack thereof. So this is an area that's got to be mastered, you know? So where would you put it 0 to 10? Now, your idea of what to master is different than Donald Trump's, than it would be for your neighbor, than it may be for anybody you know. I'm not telling you somebody else's idea of 10. I'm talking about yours. Life on your terms. Are you a 10? Are you a 2? Where are you? And then finally, the last category I call CNC, which is contribution and celebration. And I got to tell you, this is the spiritual side of life. If you aren't feeling like you're making a contribution beyond what you're just paid for, if you're not doing something just because it's right, if you aren't giving in your life, nobody subconsciously wants to be a taker. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that live to try and take from other human beings, but they're miserable, you know, because we have, as human beings, embedded within us the need to give. You know, I've often said the secret to living is giving. As hokey as that can sound, I can remember, you know, at the age of 17, when I was very, very frustrated driving down this freeway in my beat up car that I wasn't sure it was going to get me home. And I was asking myself, why is my life not where it is? And I pulled over the side of the road and I took out this journal I was writing and I wrote in one whole page, I still have it, the secret to living is giving. And I thought, you know what? I've been focusing on what I'm not getting, not what I'm giving. No wonder I don't feel alive. But when you have that sense of contribution, that's magnificent, but you also got to celebrate. Because if you don't celebrate the victories, if you go, "Man, my kids have it so great today. I've contributed to them. I've made their life so great." And you're mad about it, that's a problem. You know, you got to be able to celebrate. You know, the experience of the great traditions, all religions have a way of living that's orienting us towards more than ourselves. I don't care what that tradition is. It's Christian, it's Jewish, it's Muslim, it's Buddhist, it's Hindu. You know, whatever the approach is, at some level, that great tradition is supposed to guide us about giving something, not just getting. You know, about a life having a greater meaning. But it's also about celebrating life, celebrating the gift of this life, celebrating who you are. How would you score yourself on a 0 to 10 on CNC, the spiritual side of life, the level of contribution you feel? Not by somebody else's standards, not what you pose or position or somebody else's ideas, yours. Yours of what you think it should be. And what would you say your level of celebration is? You might have to split those two up and then merge them. And I just tell you this because if you're going to master your life, if you have an extraordinary life, you can't dabble. And finally, if you want to go for a fourth thing that can move you further up the scale, I'd like to offer you a gift. If you go to tonyrobbins.com/innerbalance, I-N-N-E-R balance, B-A-L-A-N-C-E, my partner has helped me put something together. My partner, by the way, is Dr. Stacy Bell. For 35 years, a registered nutritionist, but more importantly, a faculty member at Harvard Medical School and a woman who's got 60 peer-reviewed articles. She's a genius in her field. And she has put together a quick evaluation you can do online that can help you kind of really evaluate where you are physically and give you very direct scientific direction on what you could do to shift things right away. She also, by the way, is the person who co-developed all of our health products, things for enhancing your energy, for enhancing your alkalinity. So if you're interested in any of those products, you can also call our offices, 1-800-898-TONY, T-O-N-Y, corny as it sounds. People remember it, 1-800-898-TONY. Or for health products, 1-877-GO-4-GREEN. Go, the number 4-GREEN, which is 877-464-4733. You know, on our website, if you want to do things like master the emotional area, we've got Get the Edge. It's a 7-day program where I take the best I've learned and guide you each day through a simple change. Or relationships, we have our ultimate relationship program. I mean, after 30 years, in these 7 areas, I got some good answers for you. So a little commercial there for a moment, but it's just we'd like to continue to serve you if we can. We're not the only person in town to do it. Do whatever serves you most. We just like to add value to you. And in that light, let's continue. Let's get to our DVD now. Step up if you would, and let's find now the power of alkalinity. How do you really fuel your life so that when your mindset's there, your body supports you? The worst thing in the world is when, you know, the mind is ready to go and the body's weak. Then you got a problem. So we want to make that strong in the DVD. And if you're not going to do it right now, schedule it for tomorrow so you keep the momentum, okay? So before I leave you, though, I just want you to think about some of the great things you've learned, some of the great words of Deepak Chopra, and maybe a few words from Norman Cousins. One of my favorites that he said was, "The big thing in life is to get the most out of whatever is possible." What he's basically saying is take your vision, attach it to peak energy, and make your dream a reality. Don't settle. Make your life a masterpiece, something that is extraordinary, magnificent, and something that's memorable. If you do that within yourself, you'll have gifts to give the people you care about, and your life will really matter. That meaning and the celebration we talked about will be totally real. So thanks for listening, and until tomorrow, or until you turn on the DVD, while I'll be waiting with full energy, I want to say to you, continue to live with vitality, energy, and most important, passion. I'll see you on the DVD.